town council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest or general nature thereof? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to 3.1, presentation by administration. Temporary use zoning bylaw amendment.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. The purpose of this public meeting is to consider an application for temporary use bylaw under Section 39 of the Planning Act for 310 Thomas Road. The applicant, Don Hearn, is requesting the temporary use of the property as a waste disposal site, construction and demolition processing and transfer facility. The subject lands affected by the proposed amendment are described as part of lots 2 and 3, part of Indian Stone Quarry, concession 2, municipally known as 310 Thomas Road. The property has 1,574 feet of frontage on Thomas Road and an irregular depth with a total area of 39 acres. I will be providing aerial photography of the site between 1989 up to 2013, which will be projected for council's reference this evening. According to the planning justification report submitted with the application for the temporary use, the bylaw has been requested for a three-year time frame. The subject lands are designated heavy industrial in the official plan and zoned heavy industrial in the town of Amesburg zoning bylaw. The heavy industrial policies allow for a waste disposal site subject to a site-specific zoning. The requested temporary use proposes to use the property as a construction waste recycling facility for the short term to satisfy an order to comply that has been issued by the town's bylaw enforcement division in February of 2015. On March 5th, 2015, the owner and the planning consultant attended the town offices to discuss matters relating to their order to comply. During that meeting, the owner advised that the demolition waste material currently on the property could be crushed and removed within approximately 1 week. The heavy industrial zone in bylaw 1999-52 as amended does not permit either the storage or recycling of solid waste material without a site-specific zoning. A disposal site for solid waste is listed in the general provisions of the zoning bylaw as restricted, unless specifically listed as a permitted use within a particular zone. Section 7.9 of the town's official plan states with regard to temporary use bylaws that council may, in a bylaw passed under Section 39 of the Planning Act, authorize the temporary use of lands, buildings, or structures for any purpose set out therein that would otherwise be prohibited by this plan or by the zoning bylaw. Council shall satisfy itself that the proposed use is temporary and will not create detrimental effects on the surrounding area. Any temporary use permitted shall comply with the general development standards contained in Section 2 of the official plan. In review of the town's official plan, the subject lands are adjacent within 120 meters of areas designated natural environment on Schedule C of the official plan. The correspondence received from IRPA provided confirmation and elaboration regarding the extent of the significant natural heritage features in the area. Section 2 of the provincial policy statement states that development and site alteration shall not be permitted on adjacent lands to natural heritage features and areas unless the ecological functions of the adjacent lands have been evaluated and it has been demonstrated that there will be no negative impact on the natural features or their ecological functions. The required demonstration of negative impact is most typically accomplished through the completion of an environmental impact assessment. However, other options exist to demonstrate no negative impact. IRPA stated in their correspondence, "It is our advice to the municipality that an EIA is not required if the duration of the temporary use would be restricted to a shorter duration. We are concerned with the potential for impacts to the adjacent wildlife populations and that there may be impacts to the adjacent ecological functions of the natural heritage features. There was no EIA completed as part of the application to determine what mitigation measures would need to be implemented at the site to ensure no negative impacts. Therefore, it is our recommendation to the municipality that the duration of the temporary use bylaw be restricted to no more than 1 month period in order to satisfy the order to comply. The town of Amherstburg entered into a site plan agreement with Don Hernan Sons in 1985 for the most easterly portion of the Hearn lands, which contains the buildings and structures. For council's reference, if you take a look at the aerial photography up on the screen, the site is separated into three separate parcels. The site plan is only subject to the location, the easterly parcel, identified as 310. Operation of a mobile crusher is subject to requirements identified in an environmental compliance approval issued by the Ministry of the Environment and Climate Change. The owner-operator of the mobile crusher provided evidence of the environmental compliance approval to the town. The environmental compliance approval stipulates operational requirements such as dust control, operation time limits, sediment control, and noise attenuation. The owner of the mobile crusher maintains the responsibility to operate within the parameters of their ECA. No support studies were submitted to the town with the application for temporary use bylaw and planning justification report submitted by Jackie Lasseline. If the owner would like to pursue a 3-year time frame for the temporary use, it is recommended that an environmental impact assessment, stormwater management, sediment control plan, and noise and dust control plan be completed and submitted to the town for review and approval. The proposed temporary use bylaw amendment was published and circulated to required agencies, property owners, and municipal departments in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. The Essex Region Conservation Authority provided comments, which has previously been summarized. The town solicitor was contacted regarding the recommendation to council. Mr. Posliff was in agreement with the recommendation to limit the temporary use to 1 month to clean up the site of the existing piles. An email was received last night from Dave Mayhew, which I've provided for council's reference at your seats this evening. In closing, it is recommended that the temporary use bylaw requested for 3 years be denied and instead be granted for 1 month for the specific purpose of cleaning up the site, and that administration be authorized to consult with IRCA to confirm the most appropriate location to set up the mobile crusher and heavy equipment. Pending council's consideration of comments received at this public meeting, that bylaw 2015-42, being a bylaw to permit the temporary use of 310 Thomas Road as a waste disposal site, be considered at the regular council meeting following this public meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any presentation by the applicant?
Yes, Your Worship.
Could you start by stating your name for the clerk, please?
Absolutely. My name is Jackie Lasseline, planning consultant with Crozier Barrett, representing Don Hernan Sons. Thank you, Your Worship and Council. As Rebecca indicated, and thank you very much, Rebecca, for the background, the subject site is zoned heavy industrial. Don Hearns and Son have owned these lands in the middle of the General Chemical lands since 1984. The spot where the crushing occurs was originally a stone quarry that was filled in between 1984 and 2000. If you can take a look at the building activities that are occurring is on the east side of the property on that rectangle, but if you look at the driveway coming in off of Thomas Road, just south of that, there's been storage of stone and concrete in that location just south of the driveway since approximately 2000, when that area, the quarry, was filled in. At the end of 2014, a portable crusher was brought in to take the concrete blocks that were there and create gravel. A complaint was subsequently received at the beginning of this year at the town, and that's why we're here today, because an order to comply was issued for the property. So Don Hearn and Sons were not aware that the use that they were using a crusher on their property in a heavy industrial zone was not in compliance, and for that they do apologize. In examining this issue, we took a look at what was the best approach to deal with the crushing issue on the property. And as Rebecca indicated, under subsection 39 sub 1, the Planning Act allows for a temporary use bylaw. And they say that temporary use bylaw can be up to 3 years to provide the applicant time to undertake studies and to do what's necessary to satisfy the municipality for this temporary use. The temporary use is one that's identified as not permitted under the bylaw. This is exactly that circumstance. The applicant, Don Hearns and Son, is requesting the 3-year time frame in order to complete all those studies that are going to be necessary. Environmental assessment study, traffic study, mitigation study, stormwater management, all the studies that are going to be necessary in order to say and determine and for council to examine whether this is an appropriate use on that site. Through council's approval of the temporary use bylaw, it is not a permanent use. This is merely a 3-year window for council to say, let's set aside the bylaw, allow you to continue, let's do all the studies and make sure everything is appropriate, and then we're going to take a look at the site plan and we'll take a look at the permanent bylaw at a later date. Within this 3-year time frame, it's intended that Don Hearns and Son is committed to working with administration and providing exactly that, the studies that are necessary and an application. I cannot stress enough that the 3-year time frame is going to be necessary to complete these studies. And I also want to stress that 3 years may be generous. We may not need that time. We may be able to complete all the studies, satisfy administration, and then bring forward the bylaw to council to satisfy council in a closer time frame, because it is the intent of the applicant to make those submissions immediately and get working on the necessary background stuff. Now, taking into account the comments that were received by IRCA, I do want to point out a couple of issues. What's proposed is you've got existing concrete blocks sitting on the property, is the crushing of those. There are no buildings required. There are going to be no permanent structures erected. So under their comments, they indicated no permit is required under the IRCA regulations. We have no concerns relating to stormwater management, but stormwater management will be examined during the site plan review. They did speak about the PPS and natural heritage, but I do emphasize that we're not looking at new development. We're not looking at site alteration. We're merely looking at the crushing of the concrete in a location where that concrete has been sitting for approximately 15 years. The EIA, as I indicated earlier, will be undertaken during the review process. The owner does not want to remove this application for fear of losing the potential work that they have right now. Also, for fear of losing activity and future use that they could be doing. This is a good opportunity for Amherstburg. There are employees that work at Hearn and Sons. From a planning perspective, these activities should be occurring on a property designated heavy industrial and within a heavy industrial area. The subject site that's being discussed is very appropriate for exactly this type of use. The location of the crusher operation is optimum for the storage and the shipping of the aggregate, but through the study, we'll take a look at it. We'll determine what the impacts are environmentally, see if maybe that isn't the best site, or see if there's mitigation measures that can be undertaken and where we need to move it to. As I said earlier, the owner is committed to completing all necessary applications. The review and the study culminating in a zoning bylaw amendment and revised site plan that will be brought forward for council consideration. Time is of the essence, and that's why the applicant is asking for that 3-year in order to be able to complete the necessary studies that they have every intention of undertaking. One concern that was raised to me is the quality of the concrete that's being crushed. One thing that I do need to specify, there are two things regulating that concrete. One is the MOE certificate states very clearly that only crushed concrete and asphalt can be crushed in this activity. Now, Don Hearn and Sons also control the product that they take. They have a chain that they regulate dumping. They don't allow dumping on it. It's only through contract. They only take products that are from a known source, and they only take clean concrete. They don't take wood or asbestos or any other product. There is, therefore, no contaminants that will be associated with this. So in conclusion, please consider the requested temporary use bylaw to allow Don Hearn and Sons the operation to crush in the heavy industrial designation and zone category on a temporary basis and while the necessary studies and site plans are being undertaken. Thank you. Mike Recchia will speak about the operation.
Good evening. My name is Mike Recchia. I'm the CFO of Don Hearn and Sons. Just a brief history of the property. Currently, our corporate offices are located at 310 Thomas Road, and we employ approximately 50 people throughout our companies. Don Hearn and Sons purchased the Thomas Road property over 30 years ago to provide services for Allied Chemical. We continued our working relationship with both General Chemical and Honeywell throughout those years. When General Chemical closed a few years ago, we continued working for Honeywell. And now that Honeywell has ceased operations, we are looking for a new business venture on this property. The storage and crushing of concrete to form granular materials for resale is a venture that we think can keep this property viable. So we ask you to consider the temporary use bylaw.
Is there any public input before we discuss the matter? Yep.
I'm just here concerned about the wetland. It's right there. What? 500 feet away? 600 feet away? That land from Thomas Road to the Big Creek slopes to the Big Creek. And I know they said that they're going to take care of that. This is going to be a lot of waste, in the environment, in the air, and on the ground. When the wind is in the wrong direction, what is going to be in the wind? What's going to be going across the Big Creek? There's going to be a lot more here than we're suspecting. I know when, in the 60s, when Point Pelee was recognized more by the Ministry of Natural Resources, they asked, I think we can all remember, they asked that people who were living on the island, they told them, they had a certain time frame to get off the island, to get off the Point Pelee, that we're going to buy the property because we know how significant this is and we want to leave it that way. So they slowly went through and bought all the property. Now Point Pelee is a nature center, a nature park, well recognized. A few years ago, right here in this room, I was listening to a person from the Ministry of Natural Resources. They did their study of the Big Creek wetland. There's more species at risk along the Big Creek than anywhere else in Essex County. The Big Creek is 2,500 acres, 4 square miles. Yeah, they got it right there. But that water from there drains all the way to Lake Erie. And the Big Creek is a wetland. That's part of their job. They're acting as a filter. But from what I'm seeing, that wetland, it can't act as a filter anymore because there's just too much waste in it. You have the lagoon right there. In 2006, I worked at Nexen Chemical. There was a young lady working in there from Windsor, keeping an eye on the Big Creek and the chemicals, if there was anything coming from their demolition when they were digging the hole to get rid of all their waste, if there was anything going from that into the big creek. She said to me one day, she says, there's something at the big creek. I don't know what it is, but we're gonna study it. We're going to find out. It's the lagoon. That 190-acre lagoon is leaking at that time. Whether it is now, I don't know, but at that time, she said it was. Now you have to look, 190 acres, they were supposed to cap that. Whatever happened to that? That never got capped. You have all that waste in there, everything that came from Honeywell, everything that came from General Chemical, that's wide open. 190 acres. How many feet of liquid in there do we have? Wide open, evaporating. That is still going into the Big Creek. Mm-hmm. Now you have this across the road. Why are we allowing this to happen along the Big Creek wetland? A significant, declared by the Ministry of Natural Resources in their own words, provincially or significant wetland. It's a significant wetland because of the species that are around it. They just don't declare an area significant, just the word significant. It's a significant wetland because of the amount of species that are around that wetland. And not only birds, I'm talking about everything. Birds, mammals, butterflies, dragonflies, white-tailed deer, mink. Everything is around that creek. We are destroying it. And this young lady comes over here and she tells us that Don Hearn is going to take care of it. Everything is in order. Well, I was back there a few years ago when Don Hearn, directly buying his place, had no concern for the beautiful black walnut trees that he bulldozed over. And they're still laying there. And this is ongoing around that big creek. From clear cutting, bulldozing trees over, putting this heavy, putting this crushing the stone. This isn't a little project. It's 3 years. It's 3 years. And possibly if it goes well, you know what, if it goes well, and I wish them all luck in the world. But it's in the wrong place. I wish them all luck in the world, but it doesn't belong there next to a wetland. With all the dirt, like I said, it flows to the Big Creek, and unless it was completely enclosed, where you knew when it got to a certain distance away from where they're working, that it was only going to go that far. If it was enclosed, I could go for this. It's not enclosed. It's going to be in the air. It's going to be in the ground. It's going to be in... What else is going to go into the ground? What else is going to pollute our water? I've been going along that big creek for many years now. I'm not just talking. I can put it, if you guys want to see everything that I photographed along that big creek to go along with what this young lady's talking about, I can give you a 20-minute presentation of whatever everything that's along that big creek. It's alive. It was alive. It's slowly dying. It's slowly dying right now. This is when Thomas Road opened up and all this noise going through, and you know it's progress. I mean you can't stop Thomas Road. I understand that, but where does it stop? Where does it stop? When are we going to start? Like they did with Point Pelee. They went in there and they recognized it. And they said, we've got to do something. We have to protect this. Where is common sense, morals, and values? That's what we need there, some common sense, morals, and values. We know what's there. We know it has to be protected. We know this. Is this going to help the wildlife? Is this going to help the ground? Is this going to help the air, what they're doing? It's in the open. It's not going to help anything. It'll create jobs. But it's, and I want jobs. Jobs are good. Taxes are good. But where do we draw the line? When do we start saying, it's not just us? Every year, I follow this all the time. Every year there are more and more and more species dying, going on the species at risk list. Where do we draw the line? Can we say we're starting to do the right thing? Because if we do this, if we allow that, it's zoned heavy industrial. It doesn't have to be. And where was the respect? They said it was zoned heavy industrial. They bought a crusher and they said, well, we didn't know. But did they check? But once somebody complained, here they are trying to follow the procedures. They wouldn't have been here if somebody didn't complain. They'd have been back there creating this mess. And like I said, I'm not against jobs. I'm not against people making money. I'm not against progress. But this isn't progress. We have to do the right thing here. If we get that, and then what else is going to come in? And we have to draw the line. We have to start protecting our species. We have to help them. I
I'm gonna have to ask you to wrap it up.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
First, I have to give the applicant an opportunity to respond, if you wish. Okay. Is there any other public input? Okay. We will then go to council. I have Councilor Levine first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know where to start with this. I guess I'm going to start by saying I'm going to follow my administration's recommendations and IRCA's recommendations. I don't think that they're anything but experts in this field, and they wouldn't have provided this report. And asking us to approve a 3-year study, and in the same sentence saying, because it's going to take that long to do all the studies that are necessary, well, what happens at the end if all those studies say, yeah, you shouldn't have been doing that? So we're going to sit here and allow you to do it for 3 years while you do the studies, and then they come back and say you shouldn't have done it? So that puts a cart before a horse, in my opinion. And, I mean, I'd have to agree with
Jason,
Jennifer.
Can I just say one more thing? I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to say one more thing. Take me 1 minute. just 1 minute. I was on Bobolo Island over there, and I was in this room here when the Municipal Affairs and Housing was in here. They were doing a case against a lady over there, what they were doing about the Eastern Fox Snake. And they spend $1 million to protect Eastern Fox Snake at Hurt Creek Parkway, but it's okay for people to build houses over in Bobolo Island with Eastern Fox Snake there. And this is the biologists say it won't hurt anything. You can't always believe everything you hear from the Ministry of Resources and all these organizations we have around the county.
No, I agree with you. And I'm agreeing with you.
I won't say no more.
Going through life, if you let me finish, I am agreeing with you here. I mean, when that site was zoned heavy industrial, that was a dead-end street that was nothing but industrial because of the Honeywell property. In the last 6-7 years, it's been opened up. It's a commuter route. It's connecting two major subdivisions. We've got a brand new multi-million-dollar road with a bike path, and this operation is about 10 feet off of a brand new multi-million-dollar bike path and road that we put in there. And I mean, I used to live in Kingsbridge, and I can tell you that on certain days when the wind was going, the houses on Texas Road in Kingsbridge were covered in white dust from those settling ponds when they were dried up. So I can only imagine what concrete dust is going to do the same thing. And I, too, am not against jobs. I'm not against anything to do with this company. I'm against not following process, procedures, and the laws. And they were clearly violated. And I can't take an excuse like we didn't know from a multi-million-dollar corporation that's been across the world. This shouldn't be happening anywhere, let alone in Amherstburg. And I'm going to follow the recommendations that are provided by my administration and by IRCA. And I hope that they do the studies. And I hope they come back and say, yeah, it won't hurt anything. It's completely acceptable. But until those studies come forward, I'm not approved to do anything but accept what administration is telling me to do at this point.
Councilor Pouget is next.
Thank you, Mayor DiCarlo. I have a great deal of questions. I'm very, very concerned with this, and I've done a lot of research on it. And I agree with Councilor Levine. It is totally inexcusable for companies such as the Hearns Group to state that they didn't know they were in violation. And I agree with I agree with Greg that this cannot be done, and I will be voting against the recommendations of administration and IRCA because I am so adamantly opposed to this. I think that council has to know how many days did they crush illegally, and I know that if we hadn't several complaints hadn't been lodged, they probably would still be crushing, but I know that it was at least 4. Do you have any idea how many days they crushed contrary to the zoning bylaw?
Your Worship, sure. Through the Councilor Pouget, yes, it was about 4 days.
Okay, and where did you receive the material? Because you've talked about The material was there from originally from General Chemical, and then it was there for 15 years. And then I know new material had been brought in, but where have you received all this material from? Was it from General Chemical, or was it from the Drick Project, or a combination?
From my understanding, Your Worship, through Councillor Pouget, it was a local Amherstburg job. There was a school that was torn down, and some of the concrete from that was brought over. And a church.
And further to that, what is in the material? Do you have a chemical analysis regarding any toxic materials that may be crushed?
Your Worship, through to Councillor, that would be definitely something that we could look into during the temporary use bylaw. We would be able to provide a detail of the concrete that's brought in, but my client does not accept concrete that is contaminated or contains asbestos. It is clean concrete.
So then my question then goes to our planner and to Tim Burney. Do you have a chemical analysis of it, of what they plan on crushing and what you're recommending to be crushed for the next month?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The operator of the mobile crusher is found to operate within the requirements of their environmental compliance approval. So it is their responsibility to manage and to document what they're bringing in. And should the Ministry of the Environment want to take a look at those records, they are to be kept by the owner and operator of the mobile crusher.
And thank you, Rebecca, but that doesn't answer my question. How do we know for sure what's in that the materials that they want to crush? Do we know if there's any silica in there? Council has to have some guarantee of what's in those materials before we allow any crushing.
Mr. Mayor, we wouldn't know whether there's silica in the material necessarily, but again, it is the responsibility of the owner and operator of the mobile crusher to keep track of all of those things.
I have a question to Antoinetta. The Ministry of Environment ordered us to purchase a clarifier, a cover for our open tanks of water. And can they, anyone guarantee this council that any crushing from that site, and the reason that they ordered us to was to protect us from having any particles entering into that water. Can anyone from the town of Amherstburg or anybody else guarantee us that any of those particles will not flow into that open area until we get it covered for protection and into the wetlands, as Mr. Nemeth stated?
I don't think there's a way we can guarantee anything from entering other than covering the clarifier. However, as Rebecca stated, if there's an environmental compliance or certificate that they call, and the crushing operator is responsible to maintain all limits, I'm assuming that certificate usually states, as far as dust control, what they're allowed to crush and the dust that comes out of that operation. So it would be their responsibility to ensure they follow the parameters of that certificate. Unfortunately, I've not seen it, but that's usually the case for an environmental certificate, is they'll list the parameters, what you're allowed to crush, what's allowed to come out of the dust, and how you maintain that. So that's all I can answer.
So will someone please inform this council how they are planning to protect the walkers, the bicyclists that are using that bike path, all the residents, the wildlife, and the Big Creek watershed from any particles or any of them impairing any of that, those particles?
Your Worship, through to Councillor Pouget, that would be another issue that we would take a look at, and we would put those measures into place. they would become part of the site plan agreement, where we would ensure that particulates would not be in the air on the trail. We would not be allowing for leachate into the big creek. All those issues will be addressed.
But how can you address those issues when you're crushing there and our residents are using those bike paths? And not only that, we don't know what's entering into the air and possibly into people's lungs or into the Big Creek watershed. What guarantee can you give us that that's not going to happen?
Definitely, we will work with administration to put measures in place, even on a temporary basis, to ensure that there's no leachate into the creek and that there are no particulates that are flying out. That may involve a silt fencing, that may involve some measures, but we would definitely work with administration to put that in place.
I have some more questions. I just need a second. Okay. Then I guess my question will be to Mr. Mancelli. Maybe not to you, maybe to Rebecca. Why would administration recommend this amendment, knowing full well we are setting a dangerous precedent for all developers who violate our bylaws that were put in place to protect all residents, our environment, waterways, wild habitat, etc.? Why would we do that? Because if we, for example, if we give them permission to, what you're recommending is 1 month of crushing, that sends, in my opinion, that sends a very dangerous notice to everybody else saying, come to Amherstburg, you can bring in whatever you want into heavy industrial, you can crush, and we're just going to slap your hands and say, naughty, naughty, don't do that again. But you know what? To reward you for your bad behavior, we will give you 1 month to clear this out, and you can crush. Like, aren't we setting a very dangerous precedent, to others that disobey our laws?
Mr. Mayor, when we consider the situation at hand, there are existing piles of broken concrete and asphalt on the property. There's large girders sitting on the property. We considered all of the policies, the official plan, the parameters, and the environmental compliance approval, and it actually seems like the least amount of impact to allow them to crush based on the environmental compliance approval that they have in place for this mobile crusher. They said that they needed a maximum up to 1 month, but when we met with them, they said they could probably get it done in a week. So what we're proposing is not a month of free reign to do whatever they like, but a maximum of 1 month to clean up the material with the intent that it be operated based on the environmental compliance approval that's in place and mitigating and creating the least amount of impact on the environment by just crushing what's there and being done with this.
But for that, they got it in there. I believe they should take it out the same way they got it in. Why should we give them any leeway in the process to crush and to put all these particulates into the environment, and we don't even know for sure what's in there? And it would be much better and much safer, in my opinion, for our residents to have them take it out the same way as they got it in there. And if we say that that's going to create dust, they're going to have to supply means to keep down the dust anyway. If they're going to crush, they should be supplying it the same way as if they're taking it out the same way they got in. That way there, we're sending a message to everybody else. And when you come to the town of Amherstburg, we want you here. We will work with you, but you have to follow our bylaws and accept our and respect our bylaws and keep our residents safe. I have more.
Can we come back? Mr. Mayor, if I may, Councillor Puget, had asked for a comment. Again, we are treating this situation as requiring a cleanup at that site. There is time to require a cleanup. The studies that Ms. Lasalina is referring to, you don't require a bylaw to do the studies. The studies are required regardless of what the current situation is. The current situation is one, though, that materials have been stockpiled at that site. What we are attempting to do is work with town administration and bylaw enforcement personnel to clean up a problem. The most suitable means to mitigate that problem is actually to turn that material into usable granular material at that site and then export that from the site instead of transporting broken concrete, concrete beams, other concrete materials to another site that we potentially might have to deal with at another locale. The material is there on the site. There's a licensed operator that is being brought in by the Hearns. It's not being operated by the Hearns. It's a licensed operator external to the Hearns. That licensed operator has an ECA that he or she has to comply with. The existing material can be crushed and removed as expeditiously as possible. At that point in time that it's complete and removed from that site, if the Hearn group want to apply for a rezoning, want to apply for an official plan amendment, appropriate studies will be required to be considered by your administration and ourselves prior to approving anything. We're not dealing with this as a Planning Act application. We are attempting to work with the municipality to satisfy an order to comply. To have that order to comply fulfilled, we're trying to mitigate the impacts of that. And it would seem the most suitable means to do that is to very expeditiously continue that operation to remove all that material and then transport that material as a granular material from that site. And we actually dealt with your administration and said deny the longer time frame because simply not required to clean up the site. But there is a need to have appropriate oversight on the cleanup. And that's what we were responding to.
Okay. I can come back to you, but I just want to give all the councilors a chance here. Councilor Melosh is next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So if I read between the lines of Ms. Lasalina, this 3 years is really a project to look at a long-term crushing facility. Is that correct? Short term, we're talking about cleaning up the lot, but really we're looking at establishing a long term venture. Plain and simple, I guess. So, and that's all. I guess I wanted to just find out that that's in fact was the case. Part of what was said by Mr. Levine, and I've seen this too many times, is municipalities create their own problem in that they allow housing to encroach. Industrial properties, they allow housing to grow, to encroach. Example I'll give is a pig farm that was put out of business because all of a sudden they allowed residential development around it and forced the operator out of business because of the smell, but he was there for 50 years and the housing developer was there for 10 years. So we create some of our own problem by not thinking ahead. And so I feel sorry a little bit for the owners of that property who are being really restricted at this point in time, and I'm not saying that the restrictions aren't justified, but I guess the problem now is that we're faced with environmental issues and we're faced with a business that don't have the same goals and objectives at the end of the day. So I'll leave that at that. I just wanted to find out about the long-term issues.
Would you like to respond?
Your Worship, through to Councilor Melosh, it is the intent, but as I indicated earlier, the studies that will be done and the examination of it, it'll all be at council's decision. It'll be brought forward to council, and council at that point will determine whether it's an appropriate use for that site.
Councilor Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, through you to Ms. Lasaline, you had mentioned that dumping has been going on since 2000, the year 2000. So about 15 years of dumping. Is that dumping of only concrete or dumping of other materials in the same spot? Because I witnessed myself other dumping going on there rather than just concrete material. So the concern I have is, sure, you're going to crush what's there, but what's underneath there that you're going to disturb that could potentially go in? And then, same as Councillor Levine, you're kind of putting the cart before the horse. You're asking us for temporary usage while you're going to do the studies, while you're crushing. So you should be doing the studies, come back to council and say, look, we've done all those studies, this is what we're going to do to mitigate any issues with the flora, fauna in the area, any air quality issues, and this is what we're going to do to mitigate those. So to ask us for a temporary use when you have already started doing the material, you've already started, and it just got brought to council's attention because of somebody passing by seeing this done. And I know there's many people that use that new bicycle path to get from one end of Amherstburg to the other. So you're not crushing within feet of them, so I don't know how you're going to protect children going by on bicycles, adults going by walking, running. What mitigations are you going to do to clean the road? There's so many ifs, ands, or buts. It's more, and, you know, and at first coming in, I was thinking, yes, you know, a month, a week to crush the stone. But then now thinking you're going to crush the stone, you're going to create dust and other material to be in the air and to be in the water. Then you're going to come in and scoop the material and dump again into trucks, which is going to cause dust and other material to go again. So I'm one, you know, I'd like to see this material brought to an actual place where they do the crushing and have it crushed there. A temporary 1 week, 1 month, I just don't see that we're going to be able to have all the mitigations put in place before, because you're talking about, yeah, sure, we'll put the barrier up while we're doing the study, but can I be guaranteed that that's going to happen? Can I be guaranteed that there's nothing going to be happening to in the air quality or anybody going past there? You're not providing that to us right now. So I don't know how I can say yes to something until I see what you're actually going to do.
The owner has indicated to me that it's concrete and only concrete. There's asphalt over there as well, but those are the only products that have ever been received and stored on the property. Regarding the mitigation measures that we spoke about earlier, that can be part of the bylaw, is that the crushing can occur in a 3-year time frame with necessary measures in place. The C of A, the certificate of compliance with the MOE as well, requires monitoring of dust, and if there's an issue with that, that can be addressed during the crushing as well. So there are measures in place to ensure that, you know, it doesn't happen to the detriment of anybody using that trail.
Just to follow up.
So between 2006 and 2010, no other companies have dumped material there?
Don Hearn and Son have been storing concrete and asphalt only on that particular location.
So no one has ever dumped, no other companies from Amherstburg has ever dumped on that site there?
Well, no.
No other materials, that's what I'm worried about.
No.
Because other materials were dumped in the same spot where you're talking about dumping, where the dumping of concrete was done. There was other companies that dumped it.
No, what I'm being told is concrete, asphalt, and obviously there's some dirt that's going to be there as well, but no material, no hazardous material whatsoever stored there.
Deputy Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, to Mr. Burney, Tim Burney. You mentioned that there was going to be an outside group that would be doing this cleanup. Are you at liberty to release the name of that company?
It is the company that was originally doing the crushing. The crushing was not being undertaken by the Hearn Group. It's an external company that has a C of A. I think they're affiliated with the Jones Group.
Okay, just to follow, just like we watch probably one of the biggest cleanups in Essex County over the last 2 or 3 years. That was General Chemical by Priestley from Toronto. And they had like people from every ministry in Ontario there kind of keeping an eye. And we, out of our town of 27,000 people, we didn't get one complaint. My concern is if this goes through, it, like for a 1 month period or whatever it is, what are our recourse as a council to come? Can we put a stop work order once we, if we did agree to a bylaw?
Your bylaw enforcement officers are charged with the responsibility to ensure compliance with all your bylaws and all your local approved items under your zoning bylaw and official plan. If something outside of this takes place that's non-compliance, then your bylaw officers have the capability to act.
As well, Mr. Mayor, the environmental compliance approval provides some protection measures. If there are any complaints, environmental complaints, the owner-operator of the ECA has to report the complaints to the MLE for follow-up. So that parameter also provides protection to complaints as well.
Just a brief follow-up. Listening to my fellow councillors, Levine, Councillor Pouget, Breyer, Melosh, I tend to agree with them. I personally would like to see a 1 month before I made any solid comments on this. If they're for real, we're not going to get any complaints, and they will follow the rules. But sometimes that doesn't happen, so that's our concern. Thank you.
We're approaching the timeline for the next meeting. Is there anything that needs to be stated that hasn't been stated? Keep it short.
I will. I'm in favor of giving them the 1 month. If anything, it cleans up that area. And let, you know, we can deal with it down the road. But if they say it's a 1 month, and you know, they put a timeline to it, a time frame to it, and I think at least it cleans up that property for future consideration.
Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor DiCarlo, and I'm just begging my fellow councillors, please do not give them any time to clean up this mess. Just so that we are clear, this requested zoning is contrary to the official plan. There is no support studies that were submitted by their planner. Council has not received documentation to prove that Hearns received environmental compliance approval from MOE. There is no documentation that provides us with an analysis of materials that they want to crush. This is extremely important. I am not willing to put anybody in our community at risk over this crushing. There is no evidence to support there will be no contamination to our water supply, and which is adjacent to the Big Creek. There is no documentation that the wetland that is classified as a coastal wetland that is provided the highest protection, and the SEV or statement of environment values requires us to be precautionary in principle when a decision must be made in favor of protecting our environment. Setting a dangerous precedent for other developers who violate our property standards and zoning violations. And my theory also is we could open ourselves to an environmental review tribunal. So I'm asking you, please, just ignore this request and to turn it down.
Councilor Lee.
I appreciate everything you said, Councilor Pouget, and I agree with most of what you said, and that's why I will not agree to any extended period of time. I won't agree to a crushing operation there unless I have 10,000 studies in front of me that say it's not going to do any iota of harm to anyone. But I think IRCA is our local experts on the environment. And Mr. Burney, if I could, in your opinion, and you're advising us, I take it in this matter because you're here, is it safe to allow them to clean this up? Is it safer to allow them just to crush it, get it out of there, than it is to have them come in and remove it as it is.
There is no way that we could sit here and guarantee for anyone that anything is 100% safe. We are in a position, however, to have made observations, gone to the site, consulted with our colleagues at MOE, our colleagues at MNR. Myself and Dan Lubedeck are here tonight to basically answer these types of questions from council and staff. And basically, we are simply looking at this as the most appropriate means to clean up an existing situation. We are not supporting a long-term use at this point in time whatsoever. We are looking at attempting to mitigate an existing problem in the most expeditious way possible, and to turn a problem on that site to a resource leaving that site instead of turning it into hauling it off that site and attempting to deal with something somewhere else, transporting the material down the roads. The construction operation, even in the removal, is potentially as damaging than to allow simply the temporary use and for a 1 month period of cleaning it up at the site. So there is no guarantees in anything. However, your bylaw enforcement officers, ourselves, your public works personnel are all keeping a close eye on this situation and will respond. If they step outside the bounds of the ECA, MOE will deal with them. If they step outside the bounds of a temporary use approval, your staff and ourselves will deal with them. So those are the only guarantees that we can provide for you.
Call for motion.
Motion the report by the report by Manager of Planning Services dated April 7th, 2015 regarding public meeting to consider temporary use zoning bylaw amendment for 310 Thomas Road be received. And point two, that the application for temporary use of the subject lands for 3 years to permit use of the site as a waste disposal site be denied, and that the use instead be granted for a period of 1 month for the reasons outlined in this report. And three, pending council consideration of written and oral comments received, that bylaw 2015-42, being a bylaw to permit the temporary use of the site located at 310 Thomas Road as a waste disposal site, be considered at the regular council meeting following this public meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second? Councilor Levine?
Can I ask for a recorded vote, please?
Sure. And just go to the vote. Oh, Councilor Fryer?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, through you to our planner, Rebecca, does this set a precedence allowing for the temporary use for them to eventually become a full usage on the site without a proper hearing? Council allows this to happen without their proper studies and other things. We're going to allow for 1 month to go on. They're not going to study anything. What mitigations are they going to put in? Are there going to be barriers? Is there going to be like the proper procedures done prior to the crushing? Because tomorrow, if council does approve this, can they go out there and start crushing without having no screening put up? Nothing like you would normally see at a construction site.
Mr. Mayor, just a couple of things. The environmental compliance approval that was granted to the operator of the crusher permitted a certain amount of concrete and asphalt crushing to occur, 250 tons an hour, and that was with the understanding that they would be operating the machine only a total of 60 days a year, 7 to 7, and only for concrete and asphalt. So they then, coming out of that, were to put in place certain mitigation documents. They were to prepare a best management practices document. They were to also prepare a plan for dealing with emissions, air emissions, particulate into the the air, noise emissions. So they need to operate within those parameters. Does it set a precedent? Absolutely not. Each application is judged and proceeds on its own merits and requires an assessment of the Planning Act, the official plan, the zoning, and then we put in place the appropriate studies based on many pieces of legislation that are applicable. So I don't think it sets any form of precedent. And as far as them proceeding in the near future, they do need to comply with their best management practices. And the recommendation contained in the report tonight is stating that they then, when they set up for their removal of what's there, need to work with the town and IRPA to determine the plan. Perhaps some demolition fencing should be put up around the area to ensure that it's bound and everyone understands the delineation. So I think we do need to, if council prefers or is supportive of this evening, to get them set up properly on site to make sure that they've got their proper sediment control in place as documented through their studies and their DCA plan. So I think we will need to assist them a little bit with setting up on the property.
So just to follow up, so if council approves this, are they mandated to do that, or is it just a consideration to do those things that you're saying, that we could work with them? Could they just go out and start crushing right away without no fencing like they've done already?
They are required to operate within the additional documents aside from their environmental compliance approval that they also have. I don't have copies of those, but they were to set up a best management practices plan, and they were to undertake some other studies after they received their environmental compliance approval. So they will need to follow those procedures in those documents, and I do think we need to receive those at this point.
To be fair to the residents waiting, I'm going to call the vote. Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor DiCarlo. If that is true, Rebecca, why isn't that report before us tonight?
Mr. Mayor, which report?
The report from the MOE that gives them the compliance. If that is true, that they have to follow certain recommendations, why wasn't that in the report included tonight? And I noticed that Mrs. Lazzarine did not supply us with any supporting documentation.
We will need to receive additional information. Not only do they have an environmental compliance approval, but there are other procedures and documents that they were bound based on having an ECA to have in place. A best management practices plan. I don't have a copy of that.
Mayor DiCarlo?
Support.
Deputy Mayor DePasquale?
Support.
Councilor Fryer?
Not support.
Councilor Levine?
Not support.
Councilor Melosh?
Support.
Councilor Pugin?
Not support.
It's a tie vote. Motion lost.
I make a motion to defer.
No, you can make a motion to defer. You can make a new motion to defer. Adjourning this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
We have another.
So, what a timing issue under this? Is it? Nope. Not under this agenda. Councilor Lott?
I guess just for clarification, property sits as is. I guess, going back to administration?
There is an order to comply, so they'll have to comply with the order.
And so how did they comply?
Removing the product without brushing.
If I could, just to clarify why Deputy Mayor DePasquale asked about the operator, I guess through you to Rebecca. Has the town had any issues with this particular operator in the past with operations that the Ministry of Environment came in and...
We have dealt with this operator on another property in town, yes.
And the Ministry of the Environment came in and did what?
Mr. Mayor, the town and the Ministry of the Environment, I'm not sure the outcome, but I know that they were called in on another property, a similar situation, yes.
I mean, that whole conversation, I was fully prepared just to follow IRCA's recommendation and stuff, but now when you tell me, Councilor Puget points out none of this, is it possible that MOE could come down tomorrow and say, no, don't let them crush for even 24 hours there? Could that happen?
Mr. Mayor, most of this is regulated by the MOE. We're dealing with land use, but the activity on the property is fully regulated by the Ministry of the Environment, the environmental compliance approval. So if someone, yes, this is dealt with through the Ministry of the Environment is the bottom line. They have to operate based on the parameters of their environmental compliance approval.
And we don't have it. That's what I'm asking. I don't have that. I don't know if it's taking place. I don't know if they're going to tell me tomorrow, don't let them do it at all. That's my concern. I understand your land use proposal. My issue is once they brought up that there's no ministry report at all or anything coming from the ministry, my concern is tomorrow they might say, well, why would you let them do that when we were going to tell you not to?
As far as I understand, the Ministry of the Environment regulates health and safety, and they don't create reports to say that you can do something. They respond to reports that you're doing something wrong. And so we would never get a report from the ministry that says that you can do this. We would only, they would only follow up on a complaint that they weren't doing something under the regulations of the ministry.
Well, that's why I'm asking about before, because this same operator operated the same operation at a different location in Amherstburg, and the Ministry of Environment came down and put a stop work order in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, just a comment on that. It's like anything else. I mean, we didn't pick the operator. The owners of the property did. We have no say on who they hire. We can turn down this because we don't like the person, or we think he did something, or he didn't do something, but that's not the way it's done. You gotta do it in a fair, equal manner. And it was done. It's finished.
You sat on the council, if I could, Mr. Deputy Mayor. You know exactly what happened, and this has nothing to do with personal opinions. This has to do with a business that is operating under the laws of the town of Amherstburg and the Ministry of Environment. And I have to look out for the residents. And if there's no report...
So do I.
Okay.
But I also look at the people that are out of work in this town.
Okay.
If we can get jobs, we'll get them.
Okay, listen. Got to be recognized talking here. So the bottom line is the issue is going to have to be addressed through the Ministry of Environment, whether it's hauled away or whether it's crushed. So the issue was already addressed as to whether it's crushed. Unless there's another motion on the floor, there's nothing else to discuss in this meeting. And we can move on to our next. Currently, there's a motion for adjournment. I need a second if that's going to fly. Deputy Mayor, all those in favor? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.